Hello, everyone, and welcome to Kansas City Actors Radio Theater. I'm your host, Matt Schwader, bringing you a little romance, a bit of banter, and a dash of good holiday cheer in our presentation of a true classic, The Shop Around the Corner. Originally aired on September 29, 1940, by the Gulf Screen Guild Theater on the Columbia Broadcasting System, Norman Corwin's radio adaptation featured Jimmy Stewart and Margaret Sullivan, reprising their roles from the Ernst Lubitsch-directed movie released earlier that year. That MGM screenplay by Samson Raphaelson was the first of multiple adaptations of Miklos Laszlo's play The Parfumery, including the musicals In the Good Old Summertime and She Loves Me, and the 1998 Tom Hanks Meg Ryan rom-com You've Got Mail. Our own Kansas City Actors Radio Theater rendition, directed by Hilary Clemens, stars local luminaries Bree Woods, Sam Cordes, Khalif J. Gillette, and John Rensenhaus. We invite you to join us, dear friends, for this salty and sweet, satisfying treat, The Shop Around the Corner.
Well, well, yes. The Shop Around the Corner, they call this story. And do you know whose shop? Matuszek & Company. Novelties and leatherware, suitcases, handbags, everything the best of its kind in Budapest, it really is. And wonderful values at all times. In fact, I don't know how Matuszek & Company does it.
Just a moment, please. Who are you?
Who, me? Well, I'm Matuszek.
Oh.
Yeah. Yes, well, anyhow, it all happened in my store. Well, practically all. That's why I'm telling it. This is the story of two young people of whom I am very fond, Clara and Martin. Now, Clara is an excellent salesgirl, but Martin and Clara didn't get on at all from the very first day she came to work for me. Professional jealousy on Martin's part, because no head clerk likes to have an assistant, especially such an attractive assistant, outsell him.
Miss Novak, whatever became of those musical cigarette boxes that nobody ever buys?
I just sold the last one, Mr. Martin.
Oh. Can I show you something, madam?
Ah, Mr. Martin, I'm just about to ring up her purchases.
Oh. Well, I've had a pretty good day. My sales come to exactly 176 kronen.
My sales came to 250 kronen.
Oh.
Yes, you can easily see how these little occurrences would hardly make for a beautiful friendship. But Martin had something else on his mind, something far more important. Martin was living in a romantic plane, high above the everyday routine of Matuszek & Company. I found that out one day when I chanced to overhear him talking with a fellow clerk named Pirovich.
Want to hear something nice, Pirovich?
Yes? What is it?
It's a letter from a girl. Now listen. My heart was trembling as I walked into the post office, and there you were, lying in box 237, and I took you out of your envelope and read you. I read you right there. Oh, dear friend.
Well, what is all this?
Well, you see, I was looking through the ads in the Sunday paper, and I got on the wrong page, and I ran across this ad. Here, let me show it to you. See?
Modern girl wishes to correspond on cultural subjects anonymously with intelligent, sympathetic young man. Addressed to Dear Friend, Post Office 15, Box 237.
Now, we've exchanged four letters so far, and Pirovich, she's no ordinary girl. Now listen to this. Are you tall or short? Are your eyes brown? Are they blue? Don't tell me. What does it matter so long as our minds meet?
You're right. It is beautiful, yes.
Now listen to this. What are men and women for but to rise above the stupid necessities of the 8-hour day?
That sounds very nice, Martin, but
oh,
you really...
excuse me, Pirovich. Miss Novak, where do you think you're going?
I'm going home, Mr. Martin. It's 6 o'clock.
It's 6:05. This store does not close for another 5 minutes. I'm afraid, Miss Novak, that you don't take your work very seriously.
Oh, don't I?
No, and I don't like your attitude.
Listen. Let me tell you...
Yes, and while I think of it, I don't like the clothes you've been wearing in the store. For instance, that yellow blouse with the light green dots you had on yesterday.
That was a green blouse with yellow dots, and everybody else thought it was becoming.
Yes, yes. Well, I...
And I don't remember that I ever remarked about your neckties. And believe me, Mr. Martin, if you think I couldn't say anything about your neckties... So, I'll thank you to leave my blouse alone. It's none of your business.
Well, I'm very sorry, but Mr. Maticek seems to think it is my business.
Oh, yes, that's right. I'm working under you. Well, from now on, I'll telephone you every morning just to describe exactly what I'm going to wear. And before I select my next season's wardrobe, my dressmaker will submit samples for you. Ugh. Imagine you dictating what I should wear.
Well, for heaven's sake, I don't care what you wear. If you want to look like a pony in the circus, then all right.
Listen, I sold as much goods yesterday as anybody else in this place. 197 kronen isn't bad for a rainy Friday 3 weeks before Christmas. Did you tell that to Mr. Maticek?
I did.
And what did he say?
He said, tell her not to come in that blouse anymore.
Tell him I won't.
I will.
Come, come, come. Always fighting you two. Why don't you try to get along better?
I'd like to know who could get along with a man like him. Oh, it is now exactly 6 o'clock. Mr. Martin, may I go?
Yes, Miss Novak.
Thank you very much.
Stubborn as a mule. I don't know why we ever hired that girl.
Now don't get yourself all worked up. Calm down.
Sure, sure. What do I care about a girl like that anyway?
Forget her. Tell me more about that girl you've been writing to, you know? Dear friend.
Hmm? What? Oh, yeah. Oh, Pirovich, she's wonderful. She's, well, you know, after a while in our letters, we came to the subject of love. Well, naturally, on a very cultural level.
What else can you do in a letter?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Oh, Papirovich, she's the most marvelous girl in the world. She has such ideals, such a point of view on things. Why, she's so far above the girls you meet today, there's simply no comparison.
You really like her, don't you?
I hope I will.
What do you mean? You love a girl and you don't know if you like her?
That's right, Pirovich. That's just the question. You see, I haven't met her yet.
What? You haven't met... What, after all this time?
I've postponed it again and again. I'm scared, Pirovich. You see, this girl thinks I'm the most wonderful person in the world, and after all, there's a chance she might be disappointed.
I see.
Yes, but tonight, I'm taking the risk. I'm meeting her, tonight, at 8 o'clock in a cafe. She's going to have a copy of Tolstoy's Anna Karenina and a red carnation for a bookmark. Oh, I haven't slept for days.
I'm sure she'll be beautiful.
Oh, well, not too beautiful.
No?
No. I mean, what chance would there be for a fellow like me? No, no. No, 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 no. I just hope for a lovely, average girl. That's all. That's all.
Oh, yes, that's the clock in the back of my shop striking 8 p.m. And that's exactly the hour Martin was to meet dear friend for the first time at the cafe. And, well, wouldn't you know, when the time came, Martin didn't feel quite so brave. So he asked Pirovich to come along to give him moral support. And even after he got there, he was afraid to go in. So he stood with Pirovich in a shadow outside the front window and peered in. He wanted Pirovich to see if he could spot a girl with a red carnation for a bookmark.
See anything?
Not yet. Oh, there's a beautiful girl.
Really?
Very beautiful. But no book.
Oh.
Wait a minute. I think I see it. Oh, right here, under the window. Yes! Anna Karenina by Tolstoy and a carnation.
Yes, yes. Well, what does she look like?
Well, I can't see her face. She's sitting behind the coat rack. There's a cup of coffee on the table. She's taking a piece of cake. Martin, she's dunking.
Well, why shouldn't she?
All right.
What else, Pirovich? How does she look?
Well, I still can't see her face. Don't shove me, Martin. She's leaning forward now.
Can you see her?
Yes.
Well?
Very pretty.
She is, huh?
I would say she looks... She bears a bit of a resemblance to... Clara?
Clara? Oh, you mean Miss Novak in the shop?
Well, Martin, you must admit that Clara is a good-looking girl, and personally, I've always found her a very likable girl.
Well, this is a fine time to be talking about Miss Novak.
Well, if you don't like Miss Novak, I can tell you right now, you won't like this girl.
Why?
Because she is Miss Novak.
Well, Martin was all for turning on his heel and starting home, but his friend Pirovich pointed out that Miss Novak had written those letters, and it really wasn't fair to the girl to leave her waiting there. So, much against his will, Martin finally agreed to go inside the cafe and talk to Miss Novak.
Well, hello, Miss Novak.
Oh. Good evening, Mr. Martin.
Well, this is quite a coincidence. I had an appointment. You haven't seen Mr. Pirovich by any chance, have you?
No. No, I haven't.
Well, I guess I'll wait. Mind if I sit down here?
Yes, I do. Please. Oh, Mr. Martin. I have an appointment, too.
Oh. Oh, well, there's no harm just sitting here, is there? Oh! I see you're reading Tolstoy's Anna Karenina.
Yes? Anything against it?
Oh, no. I just never expected to meet you in a cafe with Tolstoy. Ha! That's quite a surprise. I didn't know you went in for higher literature.
Oh, yes? Well, there are so many things you don't know about me, Mr. Martin.
Have you ever read Crime and Punishment by Dostoevsky?
No, I haven't.
I have. Yeah, lots of things you don't know about me too, Miss Novak. You know, people seldom go to the trouble of scratching the surface of things to find the inward truth.
Really, Mr. Martin? I wouldn't care at all to scratch your surface. Probably because I know exactly what I'd find. A handbag instead of a heart. A suitcase instead of a soul. Instead of an intellect, a cigarette lighter. That doesn't work.
Yeah, That's very well put. Comparing my intellect with a cigarette lighter that doesn't work, that's a very interesting mixture of poetry and meanness.
Meanness?
Oh, now, don't misunderstand, Miss Novak.
You know, I thought I told you I was expecting somebody.
Listen, if your party doesn't show up, couldn't I...
Oh, don't worry about that, Mr. Martin. My party will show up. It's really not necessary for you to entertain me.
Well, let me tell you something, Miss Novak. You may have beautiful thoughts, but you certainly hide them. And as far as your actions are concerned, you're cold and snippy, and you're going to have a terrible time finding a man to fall in love with you.
No man will fall in love with me. Really, Mr. Martin? Oh, you're getting funnier every minute. Why... I could show you letters that would open your eyes. No, maybe not. You probably wouldn't understand what's in them. They're written by the type of man so far above you that it's ridiculous. Ha! I have to laugh when I think of you calling me unlovable. You... Oh, you little insignificant clerk!
Well, it was a terrible blow to Martin when he looked in the window of the cafe and discovered the unknown marvelous girl he'd been writing to for so many weeks was none other than his fellow clerk, Clara. But it was even more of a blow to Clara when, after Martin abruptly left following her final riposte, she waited another 2 hours and the man of her dreams did not show up. She took it hard, poor child. You know how dreamer types are. I once knew a girl, that's before I was married, but okay, that's another story, another time. Clara, as I say, took it very hard. She even stayed home from work, she was so upset. Martin felt pretty bad about this, so he decided he ought to call on her, strictly in the line of duty, of course.
Well, good evening, Miss Novak.
Oh. Good evening, Mr. Martin. Come in.
Thank you. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm sorry I couldn't come to work, Mr. Martin.
No, that's no trouble. Now you must take care of yourself.
I'm sure I'll be better in a day or two.
But that doesn't mean that you should neglect yourself. Now you see, I feel pretty responsible for the whole thing.
You? Oh, no, Mr. Martin. Oh, no. I think I can relieve your mind. It wasn't your fault at all. No, there's a much bigger reason, unfortunately. A psychological reason. But it's my personal problem, and I'll come out of it. It's just one of those things.
Oh, I'm very sorry. It's really a shame that you have to go through all this. But of course, so long as it's only psychological.
Only psychological? Oh, Mr. Martin, it's true we are in the same room, but we are not on the same planet.
Miss Novak, although I'm the victim of your remark, I must admire your exquisite way of expressing yourself. You certainly know how to put a man on his planet. Oh, by the way, Miss Novak, your aunt asked me to bring this up to you. It's a special delivery letter. Just arrived.
Really?
Here you are. I hope it's good news.
Thank you. Well, Mr. Martin, it certainly was kind of you to drop in, but I don't want to spoil your evening.
Oh, no, I have lots of time. You go right ahead with your letter. Don't pay no attention to me.
Well, if you don't mind. Oh!
It's good news?
Oh, wonderful news, Mr. Martin. You know, if I weren't feeling so wonderful right now, I could be very mad with you.
With me? Why?
Why? Because you really spoiled my date the other night. I wasn't so wrong when I asked you not to sit down at the table. You see, my gentleman did come to the cafe. He looked in the window, saw us together, and he misunderstood.
Oh, you mean he thought you and I were friends?
Yes, he must have. Listen to what he writes.
Tell me, who is this very attractive young man you were sitting with? He's just the type women fall for.
Oh, well, I'm sorry I caused you so much trouble.
Oh, I'll straighten it out. Let him feel a little jealous. It won't hurt him.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't seem to be much of a man, this friend of yours. He walks away. He's afraid to come over to the table because another man's sitting there.
Mr. Martin, he was not afraid, I can assure you. He's tactful. He's sensitive. He's not the kind of man who would sit down at a table uninvited.
Oh, really?
It's difficult to explain a man like him to a man like you. Where you would say down, he says up. Where you would say ugly, he says beautiful. And where you would say unlovable, well, he says... Listen. Here. Eyes that sparkle with fire and mystery.
Oh.
Vivacious.
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating.
Mm.
He says I make him think of beguiling music.
Well, I suppose there's nothing left for me to say except that I wish you a very Merry Christmas, both of you.
Thank you, Mr. Martin.
Well, good night, Miss Novak.
Good night, Mr. Martin. I'll see you tomorrow.
Well, Clara showed up at the shop the next day, all right, and she worked like fury. A few days later, she told everybody, including Martin and me, that she had a date for dinner on Christmas Eve, and she was all excited about it. Well, when the shop closed after a record-breaking day before Christmas, Clara and Martin happened to be the only ones left.
Oh, before you go, Miss Novak, you want to see something?
Hmm?
Look. Look. How do you like this gold locket?
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah? Well, why don't you try it on? I'd sort of like to see what it looks like on a girl.
I didn't know you had a girlfriend. Is this for her?
Oh, yes. Yes, I... Probably not easy for you to imagine that somebody would like a man my type, but...
Oh, Mr. Martin, don't let's start all over again. It's Christmas Eve, and I'd like to be friends with you. Listen, do you mind if I tell you something?
No. No, not at all.
Well, when I first started working here, you know, something very strange happened to me. I found myself looking at you again and again. I couldn't take my eyes off of you.
Really?
Mm-hmm. All the time I was saying to myself, Clara Novak, what's the matter with you? Mr. Martin is not a particularly attractive man. Oh, I hope you don't mind.
No, not at all.
And listen, now comes a paradox. I caught myself falling for you.
I can't believe it.
Yes, Mr. Martin. And those first few weeks, well, there were moments when you could have swept me off my feet.
There were?
Yes. Well, you see, really, I was a different girl then. I was rather naive. All my knowledge came from books, and I just read a novel about an actress who, when she wanted to arouse a man's interest, she treated him like a dog.
Well, you treated me like a dog, that's right.
Yes, but instead of licking my hand, you barked.
Oh, well, that's all forgotten now, isn't it?
Yes, and now you're off to see your girlfriend. By the way, is it serious?
Yes. Yes, very.
Oh, so we might both be engaged by Monday morning.
I think we will.
Oh, I don't want you to misunderstand. In my case, I just say it might happen. You see, he's coming to my house tonight to see me at 8:00.
As a matter of fact, I can tell you that it will happen.
What? How do you know?
Oh, I won't go into that.
Mr. Martin, what do you mean it will happen?
Well, I might just as well tell you. He came to see me.
Who?
Well, your fiancé. He came last night.
What?
Now, you shouldn't have told him who I am. You see, I spent a very uncomfortable hour. He apparently didn't believe it when you wrote to him that I meant nothing to you, you see.
I can't get it into my head. Coming to see you? Oh, no. That doesn't sound like him at all.
Oh, no, but I straightened everything out. It's all right. Now, don't you worry. In a little while, you'll be the future Mrs. Popkin.
Mrs. Popkin?
Why, wasn't that his name? Popkin? I thought that's what he told me.
Oh, no. Yes, that's right. Popkin.
And a very nice fellow. Very nice. I congratulate you.
Yes, thank you. I think he's a very attractive man, don't you?
Oh, yes. For his type, I would say. Yes.
Would you really classify him as a definitive type?
Absolutely. And don't you try and change him now. Don't get him lifting weights or...
Would you call him weak?
Well, that's a matter of opinion. Now, if I were a girl and had to choose between a young, good-for-nothing with lots of hair or a fine, upstanding, mature citizen, I'd pick Matthias Popkin every time.
But he has a fine mind, don't you think? Didn't he impress you as being rather witty?
He struck me as being sort of depressed. But of course, it's unfair to judge a man who's out of a job.
Out of a job? Well, he didn't tell me.
Well, that shows how sensitive he is. But don't you worry. Now he feels that both of you can live very nicely on your salary. When I told him what you made, he was a little concerned at first. But then, I promised him you'd get a raise and he felt better about it. And let me tell you, mentioning your end-of-the-year bonus didn't do you any harm at all.
This is terrible! Ugh, I'm outraged! I never dreamed he was materialistic like this. If you could read his letters... Such ideals. Why, I could quote you passages. To love is to be two and yet one, a man and a
woman blended as angels, heaven itself.
How did you know that?
Well, that's by Victor Hugo. I stole that.
Oh no! I thought I was the inspiration of all those beautiful thoughts. Now I find he's just copying the words out of a book. He probably doesn't mean a single one of them.
Oh, I'm sorry you feel this way. I hate to think I spoiled your Christmas.
No, that's all right. I guess I really ought to thank you. And I guess I better be going.
Oh, Clara, if I'd known in the beginning how you really felt about me, things would have been different. You know what I wish would happen? When your bell rings at 8:00 tonight, and you open the door, Instead of Mr. Popkin, I come in.
Oh. It's very sweet of you to try to cheer me up, but I think we'd better say goodnight. You have an engagement. Yes, and so have I. And we shouldn't be late.
Clara.
Oh, the locket. Here, I'll unclasp it.
No, Clara. Clara, couldn't I take his place?
Oh, please, you're only making it more difficult for me.
Clara, my darling.
Oh, we can't. You mustn't put your arms around me.
Dearest, sweetest Clara. I can't stand it any longer. Please, take your key.
Please.
Open post office box 237. And take me out of my envelope.
Really?
And kiss me.
You mustn't. Box 237?
Dear friend.
Hugh. Dear friend?
Are you disappointed?
Psychologically, I'm very confused. But personally, I don't feel bad at all.
Oh, my darling.
Oh.
Oh, Clara.
Oh, Mr. Popkin. Dear Mr. Popkin.
Yes, that's about the size of it. Well, of course they got married, and they're very happy now, those two. And she still outsells him. And, speaking of which, if you should ever need some very fine leather goods or...
Yes, thank you, Mr. Matuszek. And thank you, listener, for coming along on our story of two lonely hearts falling, not without a few bumps and bruises, into true love at last. This Kansas City Actors Radio Theater production of The Shop Around the Corner was directed by Hilary Clemens and starred Bree Woods as Clara, Sam Cordes as Martin, John Rensenhouse as Mr. Matuszek, and Khalif J. Gillette as Pirovich. Our sound designer was Haley Sylvester, with sound supervision by Mary Robinson. And I'm your host, Matt Schwader. Our program sponsors are the Estelle S. and Robert A. Long Ellis Foundation, Arts KC, the Missouri Arts Council, the National Endowment for the Arts, Theater League, and the Breidenthal Snyder Foundation. And a special thanks to Mark and Valerie Andrus. Kansas City Actors Radio Theater is made possible with the support from listeners like you. Kansas City Actors Theater, or KCAT, was founded in 2004 to keep professional actors in Kansas City, with a mission to produce thought-provoking plays that explore, celebrate, and share what it is to be human, nurturing our local artistic community by employing the finest talents of Kansas City's diverse theater body, which in turn makes Kansas City a more vibrant place to live and work. Tune in next time for another round of our lively game and talk show, Oh My God, Did You Just Say That? Kansas City Actors Theater's next onstage production, The Pests, adapted from Molière's Les Faucheux by Kansas City's esteemed scholar Dr. Felicia Landré, arrives on Union Station's City Stage in January 2022 as part of Casey Molière 400 in 2022, a citywide celebration of Molière's 400th birthday. To learn more about how you can support KCAT onstage and on the airwaves, visit kcactors.org/donate. From all of us at Kansas City Actors Radio Theater, we wish you a joyful holiday season and a happy new year.